Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Scorn and defiance. Slight regard. Contempt. And anything that might not misbecome the mighty sender, doth he prize you at?
Your show was better when you had medical questions. AIDS!
Can you please stop bullshitting and get to the question?
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valves exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for all my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
From the world-famous Cardiff Electric Network Studios in beautiful downtown Bedabbler City, it's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott. The traditional Chinese medicine provider gives me street cred with the wacko alternative medicine idiots. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
And my partner in all things, Tacey. Hello, Tacey.
Hello.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at Dr. Scott WM. That's Dr. Scott WM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your healthcare provider. Very good. All right. Please don't forget stuff.drsteve.com. You didn't get what you wanted for the holidays? Go to stuff.drsteve.com just click through to Amazon. You can buy anything you want. Or you can scroll down and see all the crazy stuff that we've talked about on this show, including supplements for neuropathy sufferers, the Womanizer, the greatest toy in the world, or Rhodey robotic tuner. That's at rhodey.drsteve.com. Check out simplyherbals.net. That's Dr. Scott's website. And Tacy and I do a Patreon channel called
Patreon channel
up there. Patreon.com/weirdmedicine. And if you want me to say fluid to your mama, check it out. Cameo.com/weirdmedicine. I love doing those. I think we have one to do here in just a second from the studio as soon as we get done recording. And we're also doing super tips, but I haven't quite figured that one out. But if you want to try it so I can see this. Now, this sounds like somebody else. Somebody super chat me and see if it works. But tips.drsteve.com. It won't let me tip myself, so I can't test it. Maybe I can get Dr. Scott to do it.
There you go.
And but we'll see. And there is a channel out there that has artificial intelligence. You can get it to do different voices, and you write a message out with your tip, and then it pops up on the screen, and then whoever they have programmed to do the voice, it sounds exactly like them. So, you know, the AI voices and stuff. That'd be something we could do on the podcast. We really couldn't do that on the SiriusXM show, but it might be fun to do. But anyway, tips.drsteve.com. Got anything else?
Nope.
All right. Don't forget Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net. Are you hawking CBD nasal spray?
Sling in some nasal spray.
Stuff's amazing.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you. Sling it every day.
Scott's, you know, one of my best friends, and but not good enough friend to get free product.
No, so we're not that close.
I order it on simplyherbals.net.
That's right. Now, I do hand deliver it, though. That's the
difference. But Dr. Scott, if you do happen to order from him, he will, and you mentioned Weird Medicine, he will send you some Weird Medicine tchotchkes, and we've got all kinds of new crap. I've got some stuff to give you. I'll give you some magnets.
Yeah, cool.
And some clear stickers and keychains and pins and all kinds of bullshit.
Oh, I love it.
Pins?
Yeah,
I
love
pins?
It. I love
yeah, we
it.
Have pins. You want some pins, Tace?
Yes, I would like to have at least one.
Okay. Well, and I have buttons coming, too. The kind, you know, buttons like, you know, hello, my name is Tacy on it or whatever.
I don't need that. Thank you.
I have those coming. Well, they're buttons, you know, with the pin in them, you know, that you put in your clothes and wear them. And then, but we also have pins that pin on. So anyway, simplyherbals.net. Check him out. Not an ad.
Nope.
Just a plug.
Just obvious.
All right. There were, some news stories this week that are a big deal. And one of those is extra uterine system to physiologically support the extreme premature lamb. And that doesn't sound like much until you translate it into English. This is artificial placenta.
Oh, wow.
Now, we've talked about this quite a bit on this show way long time ago when I was talking about my time in the neonatal ICU, where, you know, we called it baby hell, where the premature babies are. Yeah. And they're not, when they're 23 to 26 weeks, their lungs really not made to work with environmental oxygen.
Okay.
And their lungs are teeny tiny, plus they're stiff. So you end up pushing through a ventilator. You know, you have to intubate them.
Okay.
And you're pushing oxygen at a higher concentration than it really they can handle, but you got to get enough oxygen in there so it'd be transmitted into the bloodstream through the lungs, and then they can have problems with their eyes and all kinds of stuff. And all these parts are not made to be out in the real world. And even then, I was saying, you know, what we really need is is an artificial placenta where you could just take the kid and hook it up. There's the umbilical cord has two arteries and a vein, and it shares blood with the, or gets its blood from the placenta, which shares blood from the mother. And there's some things that don't cross the placental barrier, some things that do. That doesn't matter. That gets way too far into the weeds. But there are two arteries and a vein in that thing. And it'd be cool if you could just hook those up to like a dialysis machine sort of thing, or something that would just supply blood and nutrients and oxygen to the kid. And then they would, you know, create their own amniotic fluid. Do you know what amniotic fluid actually is, Dr. Scott?
No, I mean, no.
It's baby piss.
So
as the blood courses into the baby from the placenta, nutrients and stuff are transmitted from the mother into the baby. And then it, you know, its kidneys are functioning. So, you know, they just produce urine. And that's what basically is what amniotic fluid is. So the kid is floating in their own urine, but it's hyper filtrated. It's, you know, it's not like piss. And they also, if you have a kid that's got a blockage in their urethra, they'll get kidney failure in utero, and they'll have what's called oligohydramnios, which means not enough amniotic fluid because they're not, the kid is the one that produces the amniotic fluid for the most part. Well, anyway, so if you could do that, it would be awesome. You would take a kid and you'd put them in a vat of saline, hook these things up, and just let them go. And just adjust. And, you know, why don't we have that? Well, it's because it's very complicated. Well, yeah, here we go. So this is from Nature, not a just some shite journal. This is the real journal, Nature Communications. And here's the abstract. In the developed world, extreme prematurity is the leading cause of neonatal mortality. Yes, extreme prematurity, babies that come out too soon, or, you know, sooner than they are viable, that it's, there's, you know, the high mortality rate for those, even with our technology today. And morbidity, as we've already alluded to, lung problems, you know, retinal problems, et cetera, et cetera. Due to a combination of organ immaturity and iatrogenic injury. Iatrogenic injury means we injured them.
Physician-induced or medicine-induced.
Medical system-induced injury. Right. And again, that comes from requiring oxygen at higher levels than the baby's able to handle, and, you know, other things like that. Until now, efforts to extend gestation using extracorporeal systems, in other words, efforts to extend the time in the womb, but not really in the womb, using extracorporeal systems, in other words, outside of the body systems, have achieved limited success. That's so they've been trying the doing research on the artificial placenta for a long time. Okay. Here we reported development of a system that incorporates a pumpless oxygenator circuit connected to the fetus of a lamb via their umbilical cord interface that is maintained with a closed amniotic fluid circuit that closely reproduces the environment of the womb. Okay. We show that fetal lambs that are developmentally equivalent to the extreme premature human infant can be physiologically supported in this extrauterine device for up to 4 weeks, which may be time enough to get the kid. And, you know, down the road, they'll be keeping kids till term.
Sure.
You know, you'll get them out as soon as you can, so they'll bring them up to 32 weeks and then be done. Lambs on support maintain stable hemodynamics. In other words, their blood pressure and all of, you know, their vital signs are normal, have normal blood gas. In other words, they're getting enough oxygen and oxygenation parameters, and maintain patency of the fetal circulation, because that's a problem. What you don't want, patency means it stays open.
Okay.
So what you don't want is hooking them up to something and now they're getting blood clots everywhere, and they're throwing clots here and there. That was the problem with the first artificial hearts, is they would make blood clots.
Oh.
They would pump blood around, but they'd get, you know, blood clots in there, and then you get a stroke.
Yeah.
So you don't want to, you know, bring these kids to full term and then just have them be stroking out all the time. So a lot of challenges with a and you don't want this bag of fluid to get infected either. So you have to make sure that, you know, they're going to have protocols for all this stuff. If they start detecting bacteria in the fluid, well, how do you treat that? Can you just dump back antibiotics into the fluid, or do you have to flush it out and start over? What do you have to do? With appropriate nutritional support, lambs on the system demonstrate normal somatic growth. In other words, somatic meaning body growth. So normal body growth. Lung maturation is normal, and brain growth and myelination, in other words, the formation of their central nervous system. So I'm going to give these guys. Now, the reason I bring this up, FDA just approved, the FDA is considering allowing human trials. So we're
close.
We're very close. If this works as well in the human trials as it did in these lamb trials, I predict within 5 years, and I'm being conservative on that, that we will have artificial placentas in neonatal ICUs. Now, they were calling it artificial uterus in the news article that I read, which brought me to the original article. Always go to the original article. And these news articles, if they don't cite their source, just skip on by until you find one that does, because you got to go to the original thing. This isn't an artificial uterus. The uterus is the thing that encloses the baby. And, you know, yes, the placenta interfaces with the uterus, but this is an artificial placenta. This is a much bigger deal.
Right.
So anyway, and if you look at the pictures of them, it just looks like this thing is in a big sort of trash bag.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I imagined it being a little different. I imagined a big glass sort of, you know,
a big test
glass kind of jar like that you dump the kid
with babies
in.
Floating in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, sort of like Brave New World. You know, if you remember Brave New World, Aldous Huxley's book.
Oh, my goodness.
There was asexual reproduction of everybody.
How boring.
Yep, very boring. Intercourse bad. Soma good, though. Remember the drug they
Soma
took?
Soma good. Yes, Soma very good.
Now, there is a drug on the market called Soma.
Yes.
And they took it from that. Well, they also took it from Body. It's a muscle relaxer. My practice is now 100% Soma-free. Mm. The drug is called Carisoprodol. And Carisoprodol is metabolized into either the actual drug or an analog of a drug called Meltdown, which was meprobamate, one of the most addictive tranquilizers ever made. You think Xanax is habit-forming. This stuff was the real thing.
Really?
And when they sold it to us, you know, so what happened was they take Meltdown off the market, right?
Right.
And they go, well, we've got this drug. Well, we've got a pro drug.
Let's just repackage it.
Yeah. This drug, when it's metabolized, we still have the patent on it. Let's just sell it. Yep. So when it's metabolized, it was metabolized into that drug, but it's not the drug, right? So they sold it to us in the 80s as a non-addictive muscle relaxer.
Wow.
We wrote the shit out of this stuff until all of a sudden you start getting phone calls from people. I need an early refill on my Somas. I need this and that. And we were like, okay, well, you know what? We're not going to write anymore. And then you were getting irate phone calls.
Yep.
And people were going through withdrawal. So anyway.
I've not seen Soma, the drug, like as a on anybody.
Well, Soma's a brand name, so we don't. But, I don't want to trash the brand, but you know, Carisoprodol, the drug, is not written much anymore.
Yeah, I've not seen it.
But it took a long time for me to have a completely Carisoprodol-free practice.
Hmm.
So if we get a cease and desist, I'll deal with it. But anyway, I don't think they can argue with much of what we said.
No.
So anyway, all right, Tacy, you got some topic time, I understand.
I sure do.
Okay, let's do it. Uh-oh.
It's Tacy's time of topics, a time for Tacy to discuss topics of the day. Not to be confused with Topic Time with Harrison Young, which is copyrighted by Harrison Young and Area 58 Public Access. And now, here's Tacy.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I have two topics today.
All right.
One is quite serious. The other one is quite not serious. But okay. since it's mostly men.
I'm
going to
argue
listen.
About the second one because I know what it is. I think it is the most serious.
I know. I was going there. Okay. Since most of our listeners are men, I think it's going to be quite interesting.
Uh-oh. This could be good.
It's actually really, it's like if you don't know this, then you don't deserve to have a penis. But anyway, that's the second
okay,
topic.
Okay, fair.
So the first topic is a breakthrough in treating Alzheimer's using targeted drug delivery reported in New England Journal of Medicine. And it happened at West Virginia University.
Okay.
And it's a potential advancement in the treatment of Alzheimer's disease, and it was announced today on January 3rd by researchers at West Virginia University. A first-in-human study featured in the latest issue of New England Journal of Medicine.
First-in-human study?
Yes.
Oh.
Demonstrates that focused ultrasound in combination with anti-amyloid beta monoclonal antibody treatment can accelerate the clearance of amyloid beta plaques in the brains of patients with Alzheimer's disease.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So does that result in their syndrome getting better?
Well,
is this like a Flowers for Algernon situation in reverse?
You're asking me on paragraph one. We got
two more pages, don't we?
Anti-amyloid beta monoclonal antibody therapies, such as, okay, aducanumab, lecanemab,
oh my God,
lecanemab, and
you could just say monoclonal antibody.
Okay,
cocktail.
Can reduce amyloid beta plaques and slow the progression of Alzheimer's. Until now, these promising antibody therapies had limitations in reaching the brain due to the blood-brain barrier, right, which you talked about earlier.
Correct.
And protective barrier between blood vessels and the brain that blocks harmful substances from getting into the brain, but also limits the access of therapeutics. More than 98% of drugs do not readily cross the blood-brain they just call it the BBB here,
there
so I'm going with that.
Triple B.
Thus requiring systemic treatments with higher doses and more frequent therapies. So, the scientists used a focused ultrasound system developed by Incitec to safely and temporarily open the BBB to allow the anti-amyloid beta antibodies.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Increased access to targeted areas of the brain.
So instead of changing the molecule to allow it to cross the blood-brain barrier, they actually open up the blood-brain barrier.
They opened it up.
That is, I have some concerns about that.
I was going to say, that could be really dangerous. Yeah.
The focused ultrasound system.
If it's really temporary, maybe it'd be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. MRI-guided treatment Helmet holds more than 1,000 ultrasound transducers, which were directed to specific brain regions with high amyloid beta plaques. In this first in-human proof-of-concept study, three patients with mild Alzheimer's disease received six standard monthly infusions of the aducanumab antibody, immediately followed by
aducanumab. You said it right.
Aducanumab, followed by the mediated BBB opening in regions with high amyloid beta plaques. The results demonstrated the safety of this approach and increased reduction of amyloid beta plaques measured by PET scans. After 6 months of antibody treatment, we observed an average of 32% more reduction in amyloid beta plaques.
Can you please stop bullshitting and get to the question?
In brain areas with blood-brain barrier opening compared to areas with no such opening. Focused ultrasound is a non-invasive outpatient procedure for BBB opening with great promise for improving drug delivery to the brain.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, there's lots of drugs that we can't use because they don't cross the blood-brain barrier. But there's sometimes we use that to our benefit.
I was going to say, that can be really beneficial.
For example, and I hate to interrupt, Ace, but if...
No, you don't.
If you have an opioid, for example, and it causes constipation, you can add a methyl group to naltrexone, which naltrexone is a drug that will reverse the activity of opioids. So if you got someone that's overdosing, you could give them naltrexone. The IV version is naloxone, and it will reverse the activity, and it'll wake them up and actually kick them into withdrawal if they're a chronic user. But if you add a methyl group to it, which is just a carbon and three hydrogens, now it can't cross the blood-brain barrier. So you could use that to counteract all the other effects that opioids create that are not, you know, pain relieving and, you know, other, you know, the beneficial effects of opioids. So constipation is a good example of that. Someone has constipated and you give them methyl naltrexone, they'll actually start pooping because it will block the activity of the opioid at the level of the bowel, but won't cross the blood-brain barrier, so they'll still have pain relief. Now, in that person, if they did this thing that Tacy's talking about, all of a sudden the methyl naltrexone would block the central activity as well, and then they would be miserable. So you're going to have to be careful doing this, but I'm assuming this is going to be a procedure where you go in and they give you the drug to open up the blood-brain barrier, then they give you the infusion of the antibodies and then get out. Anyway, go ahead.
The next phase of the clinical trial will begin this year to explore how to further accelerate amyloid beta removal in a shorter time with focused ultrasound in combination with lecanemab antibody.
Really interesting. So it's the actual ultrasound that's opening up the blood-brain barrier?
I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
So anyway,
that's interesting.
Because
so
it would probably be, then it would, you'd think it'd be
you
more
just
much
take
more
it
temporary,
off and
yeah.
then it goes away.
Yeah, then it goes back. It's almost like just stretching it.
Seems like we've talked a lot about Alzheimer's recently, and it seems like there's a lot of exciting things.
Well, they
going
keep
on
coming
with
up with stuff, and then it ends up being disappointing. And so this, I'm hoping that this turns into something. I want to see the data on people getting their memory back.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be really cool.
And their personalities back. Yeah.
Topic.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Number two, everything you need to know about penis health.
Excellent. Oh, there we go. Now that's important.
When most people think about penis health, they think about sexually transmitted infections and erectile dysfunction. While these conditions can certainly affect the health of your penis, it's about so much more than that. So, let's get started.
Okay.
What affects penis health? Your ability to urinate comfortably, your ability to get or maintain an erection, and your fertility. Penis health also includes avoiding...
That's really everything,
isn't it? Certain booth health conditions such as penile cancer and STIs. The following factors can affect the health of your penis.
Okay.
Hormone levels for like erectile dysfunction.
Yep.
You know, low testosterone. If you're feeling like crap and you can't get it up and keep it up, you know, you really need to go see your doctor because there's no reason for that. There are plenty of ways to fix that.
Yeah. You don't have to live that way.
Yeah. Age. As you age, you're more likely to experience sexual dysfunction like ED. It's partially because your testosterone level will naturally decline over time. High blood pressure, diabetes mellitus, and certain neurological conditions can cause ED. Psychological conditions such as anxiety and depression can also exacerbate ED. So it's not a one-trick pony, I guess.
Yeah.
Sex. If you want to have sex without a condom, ensure that both you and your partners are tested regularly for STIs or remain in a monogamous relationship with someone free of an STI. Otherwise, correctly using a condom every time you have sex is the only way to reduce your risk. Rough sex can also harm your penis. For example, pulling back the foreskin.
Howard Stern has sex with a condom every single time he has sex with his wife. He said that.
Why?
I don't know.
It makes it last longer.
Is that why? Oh, that's why he says that?
I believe so. I may be wrong, but I think that's why. I think I remember him saying that.
I think she's postmenopausal at this point, and they're monogamous, so unless he's worried about something.
No, I think it's
You think
just,
it's just to make him go longer?
Yeah.
Okay. She may or may not be thankful for that, just depending.
Exactly.
For example, pulling back the foreskin abruptly can tear it. So you got to be careful with it. Accidentally bending your erect penis can cause a traumatic penis fracture. Ooh.
Gross. Yes, which causes?
A broken penis?
Yes, which then the result of that will be scarring, which then causes Peyronie's disease. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Make it crooked.
Yep. I talked about traumatic balanitis on Tukey Soup today, where if you... retract the foreskin, particularly on the elderly person, if they're not able to unretract it themselves.
Yep.
Let's say you're in a nursing facility, and you retract it to clean the glands and all that stuff, and you forget to unretract it, you've actually created a tourniquet that can cause the tip of the penis to lose its blood supply. And if that happens, it will slough off.
Necrosis and slough
off. It's poor. I know I'm not allowed to say anything about snip, but I mean.
You can say you heard or you witnessed or whatever.
I have witnessed people who have not had, what do you call it?
Circumcision.
At a later age in life, and they are miserable.
Yeah.
Because they are unable to clean it, and so they...
And they can't retract it because they have phimosis, which is scarring and narrowing of the end of the foreskin so that you can't retract it. The classic example is Sam Roberts, who talked about this, you know, to a great extent when he was on Opie and Anthony and subsequently on Jim and Sam. But he had phimosis so severe that when he urinated, his foreskin would blow up like a balloon.
Ugh.
And then the urine would have to just kind of stream out of the opening that was still there.
That's miserable.
How many times do you have to do that before you think it's
well, he finally, right.
Before you fix it.
Yeah. Well, he was 16 or something. He was a kid.
Oh, wow.
And
okay,
he probably didn't tell his parents.
Oh, I'm
parents,
sorry. Yeah, I thought he was like an old man or something.
No. And then he finally did have a circumcision as an adult.
Yeah.
Now, Jefferson the Shyster, who used to be on this show all the time, had an adult circumcision, and he played baseball the next day.
Yes, he did.
So the way that they do it now is different. Sam Roberts was on the couch for 2 weeks.
Oh, goodness sakes.
So they do somewhat of a different procedure now. So if you choose to do it as an adult, don't fear it as much as what you've heard.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, and you got to watch out what you take because some of your medicine can cause your chances of ED. So if you're getting on a new medication, ask your physician.
Yeah.
Hygiene. You know what? Come on now. Just keep it clean.
Just wash
it up.
Yeah. Poor hygiene can cause a buildup of smegma.
Yes.
An oily, malodorous, and irritating substance that is known to occur below the foreskin, which I've seen.
It smells like raclette cheese.
I have seen it over and over and over again in my younger years.
Thank you for clarifying that.
And
but you've seen smegma over and over and over and over again. They're like, well, wait a minute. She's married to Dr. Steve. So.
No, this is. I love to masturbate. I love to masturbate. If it builds up, it can cause inflammation, of course, and cause something called balanitis.
Balanitis. That's inflammation of the glands.
Ugh.
It can also increase. It's thought the chronic inflammation can increase risk of penile cancer.
Yes.
But really, penile cancer is the one thing we can point to is HPV for that.
Even with a circumcised penis, keep it clean.
Yeah. Didn't you tell me that P.A. Jill's dermatologist said only clean? Well, go ahead. You tell
her. Yes. She... You know, she had dry skin, and her dermatologist said the only places that need soap on your body are the stinky spots, like the armpits and the crotch and the feet.
Earlobes.
Yeah, and your face. I mean, you know, just
boss.
Use your brain. But not your arms, not your legs. And I've been going by that for a couple of years now, and my skin is not as dry as it used to be.
Huh. Why they call you old stinky arms.
Old stinky. Stinky pit.
No. Well, she washes her pit. But I started following that 2 days ago, and I didn't wake up in the middle of the night scratching my itchy legs.
Yeah.
Which is just, you know, the getting old is bad enough, but to the indignity of being woken up at 3 a.m. with your legs itching, and then you scratch them, and then it goes away for like 30 seconds, then comes back worse than it was before. And then I have to get up and hobble into the bathroom and put anti-itch lotion on my legs. So since Tacy told me that P.A. Jill's dermatologist told her that, I've not been using soap on my legs in the shower, and I will have to say that the last two nights I haven't woken up.
I mean, it's something. It's something
legs.
Worth trying if you have dry skin.
Well, yeah. I mean, you need those natural oils.
I mean, once
we
once
are too
like
clean.
A week,
we're too clean.
I'll clean everything just once a week, just to kind of, but not. You know, it's not typical. So, penis health needs a holistic approach. Taking care of all aspects
holistic
of your general
approach.
Health is important for the health of your penis. This is especially important since a range of different health conditions can affect your fertility and penile health.
No.
Well, here we go into
care about that.
Stay hydrated.
No.
Eat a balanced diet. Spinach, spicy foods. Certain foods may also boost your testosterone levels and improve your fertility. This includes spinach, spicy foods with capsaicin, and avocado.
What?
Yes, check.
Okay.
Yeah. Get regular exercise.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I know, dude. Look, I haven't exercised over Christmas.
Could
and
I have
it's been
a
quite
hot
lovely.
Spinach and avocado salad, please.
Make it a double.
Yeah, make it a double.
Even a brisk
Give
walk.
Give myself a bell.
Every so often can improve your penile health.
What can they do? Wait, what is interesting? We were talking.
Even a brisk walk can improve your penis.
Okay. This is interesting. Okay. Practice pelvic floor exercises. Mm. And, you know, you think of those for women, but they're good for everybody. So what you do is basic Kegel exercises. You guys can do them too. Squeeze the muscles you use to urinate. Squeeze for 5 seconds. Relax and repeat for 10 rounds. Eventually work your way up to 20
reps. The muscles
reps.
I use to urinate, you mean my thumb and first finger?
I mean, listen, I'm a little bit out of my realm here. So, do this 2 or 3 times a day.
Okay. On three, everybody.
I'm
one,
doing it right now.
Two. Ooh, hold,
and you can do it.
Hold,
nobody,
hold, no, relax.
Nobody has to know.
Hold, relax. Oh, I like that. Feels good.
Yeah,
to
Yeah, maintain
you.
A healthy weight.
Practice stress management. That ship sailed too.
Practice stress management. Yeah, I know. That's a joke.
That ship sailed too.
In this world, that's just nothing. A joke. But anyway, sleep hygiene, you got to practice that. Avoid tobacco, drink alcohol in moderation.
Tobacco's the big one.
My penis is in trouble.
Well, you don't use tobacco, but and I've said this before multiple times on the show as well, I never was afraid of cancer when I was younger, and I was never afraid of heart disease. But boy, when I found out that the number one cause of impotence in men over 40 is tobacco abuse, that was when the day I threw my cigarettes away. 3 packs a day.
Jeez.
So long, old friend.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Okay, so I was going to leave the rest of these.
Oh, you want to do them next time?
Yeah, next time.
Okay, good job, Tace.
I like that.
Give thyself a bell.
All right, good job.
Thank you. Very interesting.
So is there a penis health quiz, I guess. I wonder if we can take online.
Oh, I bet we could find one.
I'll have to check it out.
We did have a super chat, and it was from Joe. It says Joe Olive here, but I don't think that's right. Joe Oliveira, maybe?
Oliveira, yep.
And it says FAPR. That means F, Associate Producer Ralph, in joke. Do THC gummies build up in the body?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to, you're the THC expert, Dr. Scott. You want to take this one? And I'll check you on your facts. I know the answers.
As a general rule, the THC can build up in fat cells because it can get stored in fat cells. And over time, if you'll stop taking it, the fat cells will push it into the bloodstream, and the bloodstream pushes it through liver, and liver filters it out, and you should be okay. But
right.
it can build up, and the more you take, the quicker it can build up in your fat cells.
So if the rule we sort of use is if you're an occasional user, it'll be in your body for about 7 days. Mm-hmm. But if you're a chronic user, it can be detectable for up to a month,
mm-hmm.
which also demonstrates the injustice that is inherent in urine drug screening on the workplace. Because would you rather have someone that's coked up on Monday but has a negative piss test on Wednesday and they're coked up at work? Or would you rather have someone that a week ago, you know, smoked a joint or vaped some or did a gummy on Saturday night mm-hmm. and test positive on Wednesday? Yeah. Which one would you rather have in your employee? It's not fair to do it the way that we do it. So, and if you have a zero tolerance policy, you can kind of kiss my ass on that for that reason.
Agreed.
So anyway.
Agreed.
So. We had a friend who lost his job because they did a urine drug screen when he first signed up. And they said, well, are you on Marinol or anything, which is prescription strength?
We have two
marijuana.
Friends.
Yeah. We have two?
Yes.
Okay, I know one is listening, but I don't know about the other one, and don't say anything.
I'm not going to say, but we probably have more than two, but I know for a fact we have two friends.
Wow. Okay. I've got another question from the Fluid family, and it says, Dr. Scott, what's your most commonly prescribed herbal supplement for general wellness?
Oh, my God.
Is there anything the average person should consider taking along with a daily multivitamin? Well, first off, don't bother with the daily multivitamin unless you just have a crap diet, in my opinion. I don't think it'll hurt anything.
Mm-hmm.
You'll piss out what you don't need, but there's not a lot of evidence that it helps unless you really have a bad diet. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
The supplements I like are things like taurine and I like phosphatidylserine. Those are both, they've both been proven.
Phosphatidylserine.
Phosphatidylserine, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I mispronounced.
Yeah.
Both been proven for brain health.
That's how they pronounce it in China.
Okay. That's right. Both been good for brain health. You know, and again, we've talked about it, I think, before, but I also take the D3 and K2, yeah. So I take vitamin D. But as far as the Chinese herbal medicines, certainly astragalus is something that I use regularly.
Of course.
And ginseng, I do. But now other things.
Okay, for what, though? What is it?
A little bit of an energy boost.
Okay.
Just a very subtle energy boost.
Okay.
Yeah, and those are actually in the fatigue reprieve that I have. But they're just a very subtle.
You have ginseng in your fatigue reprieve?
Just a little bit, yeah. Sure.
That you can get at simplyherbals.net.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, just a little bit. I think they work extremely well. And there's quite a bit of research out there, especially for other things like ginger and turmeric or curcumin,
yep,
as far as anti-inflammatory properties. So I think those are
all
good.
And we know inflammation is an issue. If you're just going to take stuff willy-nilly for just some sort of vague, well, I want to prolong my life, you're looking at the anti-aging stuff and anti-inflammatory stuff may be somewhere. Now, do we have studies to back us up that say if you take turmeric every day that those people live 10% longer? I am not aware of data like that. But it also likely will not do harm. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some people that shouldn't take turmeric.
Yes.
Because it is a COX-2 type inhibitor.
It
can thin your blood and have antiplatelet activity, and it may even increase risk of heart attack in some people. So talk to the thing that you got to get out of this is talk to your primary care. Mm-hmm. And if they're like, oh, well, all supplements are stupid, well, okay, then they're closed-minded about this. They're not looking at the data. But if you have a collaborator where they could say, this one's okay, but this one I would stay away from because this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. If they've got good reasons, then that's somebody you can work with.
Yeah, especially if you've got some underlying health issues. Like, let's say you've got terrible, uncontrolled hypertension.
Yep.
You don't want to take a lot of ginseng.
Right.
You don't want to take a lot of astragalus. You don't want to take these things that can raise your blood pressure.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So. And Dr. Scott's not saying that. Right. Yeah. I mean, you just confirmed that you're not saying everybody should just take this stuff.
No. Yeah. Everybody's independent. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I take quite a few supplements myself. They happen to be in the anti-aging and anti-inflammatory realm. You know, you also take nicotinamide ribosides. I take that. And, I'm taking, I have peripheral neuropathy, so I take some supplements for that, including glutamine. And all this stuff is on my website. If you're interested, go to drsteve.com, click on the three dots in the upper right-hand corner, and it's got some information for people with peripheral neuropathy, if you know anybody. There is some limited data on some supplements that may help to regenerate some of those peripheral nerves. The key is to stop damaging them. So if it's alcohol, you got to quit or cut back on the alcohol. If it's your statin, you got to talk to your primary care about what to do instead of that if you can't take the statins because of adverse effects. But anyway, I take the phosphatidylserine and some other things. I take vitamin D. I've preached on this show. I don't think vitamin D does very much. Mm-hmm. If anything, it prevents rickets, but it probably isn't going to hurt anything, and I don't get enough sunlight, so what the hell?
Yes, agreed.
You know, maybe it helps.
Agreed.
I'm okay with things that maybe it will help, maybe some small subset of people, if the other side of it is it will do no harm. Mm-hmm. You know,
agreed.
A normal dose of vitamin D will do no harm.
Right.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right.
Yeah, that's a good question. From the fluid family.
All right. What remedy does Dr. Scott have for gallstones?
Not a great one. Yeah, I really don't. We don't have anything super great for gallstones.
Yeah, there is a drug that we can use for gallstones, and I've not seen it used a lot. It's ursodiol, and you can take it in the hopes, as long as you're not having frequent gallbladder attacks. Mm. If you're at risk for those down the road, they can give you this instead of having your gallbladder removed in an attempt to try to prevent you from having to have surgery.
Yes.
Now, can we talk about the person in our family that has?
Yes.
So our kid has had GI problems for many years, really since he was born.
Yeah.
And he has a thing called dumping syndrome, which is where stuff is dumped into his small bowel before it's fully digested by the stomach, and that causes pain and bloating and stuff. Well, recently they did a HIDA scan on him, and they found, and HIDA scan is a test of gallbladder function, and his, when they gave him the fatty challenge, emptied out 99%. It's normal's around 60-70% where, you know, contraction of the gallbladder, because you want to retain some bile in there. And so what happens is his completely empties out, and then it takes a long time for it to fill back up again. So the next couple of meals, he has no bile, and he can't digest fat, and he ends up bloating and having abdominal pain and stuff. So it's looking like he may have to have his gallbladder removed at age 20.
Yeah.
But hyperkinetic gallbladder, it's a rare syndrome. If you know someone that's been through everything and that's one thing they haven't looked at, you know, just throwing it out there.
Possibly, yeah.
Because that was not on my differential at all.
No.
And I'm a pretty smart diagnostician.
Yes.
Half of the reason it wasn't was because he won't do the other things that I think he should do before you go this far.
Right.
You know.
Changing diets and things of
that nature. How about eat a vegetable every once in a while?
Vegetable or three.
Or some fruit. And there is a medical food called Enterogam, which if you know someone that has spastic bowel or spastic colon problems and they've tried everything, this is what it is it's a serum bovine immunoglobulins. It's basically, you know, when they kill a cow. And this is not a vegan thing, by the way. If you're vegan, you can't take this. But when they kill a cow, they use everything, including their antibodies that are in their bloodstream. And these things, you can eat them. I mean, you put them in water and drink them, but it's called a medical food. And they will bind to actual toxins in the bowel, things that are causing inflammation in the bowel. They will bind to those and prevent them from touching the bowel and therefore not causing the inflammation, therefore decreasing the spasticity of the bowel. And a doctor's probably never heard of it. Half the GIs I know have never heard of it. It was prescribed to me by a genius gastroenterologist that was an out-of-the-box thinker. Mm-hmm. And I've used it a bunch in my practice with people with chemotherapy-related mucositis. In other words, people where their mucous membranes are affected by the chemo, and we give them this stuff and they get better almost immediately.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's called Enterogam, Enterogam. They're not, you know, sponsors of the show. I wish they were. I would push them more more vociferously if they were. But anyway, that's some pretty neat stuff. Anyway, any other questions from the fluid family before we go?
Not yet.
And Lovett says, problem is most primary docs don't know about supplements. Well, they should, because 90% of their patients, it's some crazy number, are taking supplements.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be a healthcare provider, you need to know about this stuff. And the other side of it is if you're taking supplements, you need to tell when they ask you what's your med list, make sure all your supplements go on there too, because that's important. There are some things that, as Dr. Scott alluded to, have drug interactions.
Yes.
And if you have a drug interaction, the doctor may not know, but the electronic medical record brain may know.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll flag that, saying this person's taking astragalus and they're taking losartan. Maybe that's an issue or whatever.
Right.
All right. Okie doke. Let's see. Where are we? I need to see where we are in the recording because I'm watching the... Oh, we're good. Okay. All right. Let's take some medical questions.
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right. Let's try this one. This one's apropos to what we're
talking
about.
Hey, Dr. Steve Hill here.
Hey,
got
Phil.
A question. So I had a vasectomy about going on 8 years ago.
Okay.
Curious... instead of reversing the vasectomy to have children, I've heard that they can extract sperm from your testicles.
Correct.
My question is, what's the rate of that pulling sperm out and being able to impregnate a woman with it artificially? And are the sperm still active? And also, is there something you can do to keep them active? So they're, you know, kind of like the dough factory shut down. Now we're making them wake up and hence. So like to know that. And thank you.
Yeah. Bye. All right, man. Well, and good luck with the fertility thing. Yes, it's called testicular sperm extraction.
Ouch.
Yes. It's a minor surgical procedure and involves removing a small amount of tissue from the testicle to extract viable sperm cells. So they used to do a wedge resection, and now they just use a big old 18-gauge needle. So they got to numb you up. They get the testicle between their fingers, and they just stick a needle in there and extract it.
Oh!
Yeah. Now, it says here, usually performed in an office setting under numbing medication or nitrous. The procedure involves making a small incision in the scrotum, exposing the tunica, which is the lining, excising testicular tissue, expressing tissue, and then examining the tubules for sperm. Usually takes 15 minutes. And what I read was there's about a 50% chance that men with obstructive infertility, which would include, having a vasectomy, have viable sperm that they can use. Now, what the success rate after that is, if they can get enough sperm, it'd be the same as any other, in vitro fertilization thing, or transferring sperm to a living human woman who is ovulating. That'd be the other option. Now, it is interesting to note that men continue to create sperm until the day they die. And as you get older, they get more goofy looking. I mean, I had two-headed sperm and all kinds of stuff when I did my sperm analysis when Tacy and I were trying to get pregnant. And I had enough viable sperm in there that I was okay. You should be able to have viable sperm. There will be enough of them in there that can impregnate somebody up until the day you croak. And, you know, we talked about that person that was brain dead, and the woman jacked him off, well, masturbated, manipulated him and got him erect because that's a spinal reflex,
right,
and was able to get a sperm sample that way, which just demonstrated even brain dead guys, you know, are
still motivated.
Motivated to have intercourse. If that may explain something to women who don't understand that part of how men think, but they've also done it where you do a wedge resection of the testicle to get sperm out that way.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, they are microscopic, and it doesn't take a whole lot to get enough sperm to do something with.
No.
And semen, sperm's only 2% of the ejaculate.
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, we got a quick question from the Fluid family.
Yeah.
Can Ultram show up on a dark screen? And they had a from Lovett, and she had heard that sometimes if it doesn't show up on a drug screen, that people can be taken off because the doctor doesn't think they're taking their medications.
That's right.
Which is possible, yeah.
So I'm looking it up if it's on the Federal 5. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of different ways to do drug screening.
Right.
And in the office.
And they're not all the same quality.
That's right.
Quality,
in the office, they use immunoassays. And the original immunoassay would look for opiates, but was not sensitive to oxycodone. And there were a lot of people that got fired because they were negative for opiates, even though they were taking their oxycodone. And the thing that pisses me off about this is that the providers who were doing that forgot the first rule of screening tests, that when you get an abnormal screening test, you have to follow it up with a more specific test, because screening tests are designed to be sensitive but not specific. So if you have a negative test, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, if you have an abnormal test, you can't act on it until you do the more specific test.
Right.
So what they should have done is if someone was on tramadol and they were using a Federal 5 type immunoassay that was insensitive to tramadol, because tramadol is a non-opiate opioid. So it's not derived from the opium poppy. But it does stimulate the opioid receptor. And So it's, but you know, it's habit forming just like a regular opioid is. But anyway, if you had someone in your pain clinic or in your office that was taking tramadol and they show up negative on your chintzy Amazon, you know, immunoassay that you bought because you're a cheapskate, you can't fire them for that. You have to send it off for what's called a GC mass spec or a thin layer chromatography or something that is extremely specific. And then what'll happen is they'll show up as positive. The alternate is also true. I get people that show up with amphetamine in their urine drug screens, and then you do the follow-up because it's a little old lady. She said, well, I ain't never used none of that. I don't know from that.
What know, is so, methamphetamine?
That's right. So they ain't never heard of such.
They ain't never heard of
And it's actually true. When you do the GC mass spec, it was a false positive.
Gotcha.
So you can have false negatives and false positives in this world. If it's a screening test you are getting fussed at for that, you've got to demand that they do a more specific test, which would be, in this case, GC mass spec. Okay? All right. Well, let's wrap it up there. Thanks always goes to Dr. Scott. Thanks, Tacy. Thanks to everyone who's made the show happen over the years. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel. SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, on demand and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Thanks, everybody.
Goodbye.